This is 8 Minutes, a podcast helping you understand the energy and climate challenge in just a few minutes. I'm your host, Paul Schuster. The development of utility-scale renewable energy has really surged over the past decade, driven in part by large corporations agreeing to buy power from these independent projects. Most companies with a net zero goal realize that they're not going to get there without buying some form of renewable energy. More recently, some companies are taking a deeper look at the structure of these contracts and seeing whether the renewable energy being generated matches the time period when the company is actually using power, something called 24/7 hourly matching. And this temporal matching is becoming something of a new standard, influencing not just large company purchases such as those from Google or Microsoft, but also how the federal government plans to decarbonize their power procurement, or even how federal dollars in support of new hydrogen projects get allocated. Today, I'll peel back some of the layers on this 24/7 hourly matching initiative, and maybe even take a controversial perspective that it's not a great solution all the time. 8 minutes. It's how long it takes the sun's rays to hit Earth, or about 7 minutes longer than it takes for Sydney Sweeney to pop up in another movie. She's everywhere these days. Let's get it on. As corporations lean harder into net zero ambitions, renewable energy procurement has become a key strategy in doing so. But the wonky structures on how to account for that renewable energy may be changing, and it's going to impact a lot of companies. First, a refresher that renewable energy can only be considered actually renewable because of the Energy Attribute Certificate, the EAC, that is created for every megawatt hour of generation. Here in the US, that certificate is called a REC, or Renewable Energy Certificate, but in Europe or elsewhere, it may be called a Guarantee of Origin or some other term. I'm going to use REC as my default terminology, but in any case, that certificate is retired by the company buying the renewable energy, which allows them to claim renewable procurement on that hour of power. But RECs are measured on a yearly basis, which means that a lot of companies would simply buy a whole bunch of RECs at the end of the year that totaled up to the number of hours of renewable energy that they required. If the wind farms generating those RECs happened to blow at night, but the company's operations were all during the day, well, today's standards don't really need you to match those periods, just as long as the annual true-up happens. Which is why big companies like Google and Microsoft started to take a harder look as to whether their energy procurement was really having the impact that they thought it would. In a bad case, for instance, one of those companies would overbuy on solar RECs, but their data centers still consume a lot of energy during the night, so local power grids were having to rely upon natural gas plants that could fire up during the dark overnight hours. If the REC doesn't actually match the hour when the power is needed, are we really affecting the grid the way we want to? A Princeton team took a look at this on behalf of Google, digging into a few different procurement strategies to determine which was likely to have the greatest impact on reducing grid-level emissions. Their findings concluded that only the 24/7 temporal matching strategy had a material impact on system-wide emissions. What's more is that the study seems to indicate that the current annual true-up hardly affects emissions at all. Why is that? Well, in a market with a lot of solar like California, the lowest-cost REC is probably going to be from solar. So a well-meaning company goes out and buys that REC, claiming success. The problem is that the solar project where the REC is coming from is likely going to want to generate power during the same time as every other solar project wants to generate power. If this one is forced to stay on because of the REC, it's not going to turn off a natural gas plant. It's probably going to turn off a different solar plant. And, well, that's not really helpful. Instead, the 24/7 matching requirement forces companies to more broadly diversify their renewable energy mix. Purchase solar during the day, wind at night, and maybe even invest into battery storage or hydrogen or something that could fill in the gaps. I mean, annual matching doesn't really give any incentive to invest behind some of those new types of storage technologies because the true-up simply occurs at the end of the year. So with this in mind, 24/7 has become a really important part of the conversation on renewable energy. It more accurately matches corporate consumption with procurement. It prioritizes impact on emissions reductions and not just certificate purchases. And it incentivizes investment into new forms of storage and other carbon-free technologies. But it comes at a price too. That Princeton study, it found that hourly matching could come at a 20% premium or more to regular renewable energy procurement. And well, this is where it gets tough, because corporate procurement has been on something of a bender recently. Prices for power from renewable energy projects have soared, but the demand for that power remains really high. One of the reasons why? Because large companies such as Google, Salesforce, Meta, Microsoft, these hyperscalers are building tons of energy-hungry data centers to keep up with cloud computing and AI. And all of those hyperscalers are competing against each other on their green ambitions. As a result, there are really only a handful of companies that are dominating the purchasing of renewable energy right now. And it's those companies that are driving this desire to shift to 24/7 hourly matching, partly because they're the ones who can pay the premium to do so. But look, hourly matching is great and obviously needs to happen. Those large companies with the means and resources to really devote to understanding this should absolutely be held to a standard that ensures that their investments are as efficient as possible. But not all companies have the same resources. A mid-sized biotech firm just looking to play its part in combating climate change may be forced into a 24/7 package because much, much larger companies are forcing the conversation in a certain direction. And then the question becomes, how many of those companies simply give up on renewable procurement because they can't keep up with Google or Meta? Or take hydrogen, where the new tax equity 45V rules from the federal government require clean, green hydrogen plants to procure renewable energy on a 24/7 matching basis. And that cost premium associated with doing so, that's really going to hamper a new emerging industry that is still trying to get off the ground. And without hydrogen, a lot of other industrial emissions are likely to have a long wait before decarbonizing. Even if 24/7 matching is the absolute best method to ensure emissions reductions, does it mean that we should toss aside other methods that, even marginally, help to contribute to more renewables on the grid? And this is one of the big problems that I have with the Princeton study, because it's in its effort to optimize around emissions impact. It's focused on the individual procurement activity and less on the societal and motivating inertia of the broader energy transition. 24/7 hourly matching is important. It absolutely should be a part of the conversation for certain companies, but it's not a one-size-fits-all solution yet. I'm Paul Schuster, and this has been your 8 Minutes.